chapter 33. Lance, if you and Steve would bring my board over here, please. I want to do a little preaching, teaching this morning. We've already sang the text, but also Dr. Cash has already preached a goodly part of the message. I feel to do sort of two things this morning. One is to bring the fourth question that we need to ask ourselves to release the blessings of God upon our life. Fourth question in the checklist that we're looking at. But also go back just a little bit and look at the 811 principle that we spoke about several weeks ago. And so I want to try to do that. The message that we're ministering is the message that we began called Teaspoons to Wheelbarrows. How many remember that? Remember Teaspoon to Wheelbarrows? You can live in a teaspoon mentality or you can live in a wheelbarrow mentality. And I've had both, I'd rather have the wheelbarrow. How about you? And I believe that the wheelbarrow is better. What do you think, Willis? Would you rather? As long as that wheelbarrow doesn't have four bales of hay in it, right? Book of Exodus, chapter 33. I want to read verses 13 through verses 16. And I'm asking you the question this morning in the continuation of that message of Teaspoons to Wheelbarrows is, can you change? Can you change? You'll never be able to receive the blessings of God if you do not work into your life an ability to change. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. Verse 13 says, now therefore, this is Moses speaking with God. You can call it what you want to. I say he's praying to God. He's communing with the Father. He's communing with God the Father. When I commune with the Father, I call it prayer. I say, Moses is here praying. Now therefore, I pray thee. Well, in fact, it says, I pray thee, doesn't it? If I have found favor in thy sight, let me know thy ways, that I may know thee, so that I may find favor in thy sight. Consider, too, that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, if thy presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in thy sight, I and thy people? How many of you would like to have that question answered in your own life today? How do you know if you have found favor in God's sight? Moses here gives us the answer. Look at it. Is it not by thy going with us, so that I and thy people, notice the two, I and thy people. God doesn't have any favorites. Are you here? Talk to me. God always has a people of plurality. His purpose is always and always will be plurality. It's never me and Jesus has got our own thing going. It's always his body. It's his corporate vision. He wants a people that are conformed to his image. He says there, I and thy people may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth. How do you really know if God is with you and in his presence is with you? There's something different about you. I don't care where you're at in the workplace. I don't care where you go or who you meet. The people are going to see that there's something different in your life. You're distinguishable. Now, I want to do a couple of things here this morning. I want to minister from this passage, but I want to just reiterate just a little bit. I can't recap, and I know we've got some visitors this morning and some people that haven't heard what we've been sharing here, but we're teaching about blessings, the opening up the blessings of God, and the point of reference that I'm using is finances. Once we've understood and grasped the principles of God and his finances, then we can also grasp the principles of his blessings in all of our lives. Once we understand how to open up the windows of heaven for God in our finances, we'll understand more about how to open up the windows of God in our marriage, in our health, in our children. Come on, am I right? In our workplace, wherever that we are, we need the blessings of God. How many believe that? And that's what we're really talking about, but I'm using the point of reference, finances. Finances. Now, we said that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. How many knows that? But the Bible doesn't end there, does it? It says in Galatians chapter 3, not only are we heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, but we are also heirs according to the promise of given to Abraham. Now, Abraham never laid hands on people. He never raised the dead. He never healed anybody. He never opened blinded eyes. Abraham wasn't what we would call, quote unquote, a spiritual person. But he was a very rich person. Was Abraham blessed? Did God say, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and I'll make your name great, and you'll be a blessing on the earth, and I'll bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you, and you will be a blessing to all the earth? Is that what he said? Was he? Abraham was wealthy. He would make these guys today look like paupers. He was a wealthy, wealthy man. And so not only Jesus said it like this, he says, no man has left houses or land or mothers or fathers or wives or children. The only thing he didn't let you leave is your wife and your husband. In this life, that they will not receive what? Hundredfold in this life. And in the age to come, eternal life. Now, that's what we've got to understand. God wants us blessed. He wants us to be the most blessed people in the whole earth. But to get the blessings, we've got to open up the windows of heaven and invoke the blessings upon us. And that's what we're talking about. That's what we're trying to understand and get the principles of the blessings of God. And these questions that we've invoked and we've asked, these are not just questions about your finances. These are also questions that you can ask about your marriage. These are also questions that you can ask about your workplace. These are also questions that you can ask about your children. Wherever you need a blessing, these questions fit. Number one, is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Is He? See, that's the first question you've got to ask. Because if He's the Lord of your life, you're going to do it His way. And doing finances His way, first and foremost, is the tithe. Are you a tither? If you're not a tither, and when I say tithe, again, understand, I know I'm repeating myself here. I'm not putting you back into the law. What I'm trying to do is work the principles into our life. Understand the principles of tithing. God gives us examples. Did Paul say that those things that were written aforetime are our examples? Is that what he said? That's what he said. Therefore, we know that the tithe has some principle or some example that I can draw from and invoke into my life. If he's really the Lord of your life, what you're going to find, first and foremost, you're going to do is you're going to want to pay tithe. Not that you have to pay tithes. Somebody said to me one time, Pastor, do I have to pray an hour? No, you get to pray an hour. We got a messed up thinking, don't we? Do I have to pay tithes? No, you get to pay tithes. Do I have to be faithful to the body of Christ? No, you get to be faithful to the body of Christ. Is that right? We think all wrong. It's the way the world thinks, folks. Do I have to pray? No, you get to pray. Think of it like that. It'll change your whole mentality. Becomes a pleasure rather than a burden. First question, is Jesus Christ Lord of your life? Second question, do you have a plan and a vision? You knew that. Habakkuk 2:2 says, write it down, make it plain. Is that what he said? So that those that read it can run with it. You got to have a plan. You got to have a vision. And then Proverbs 29 said, he said, without a vision, my people what? Perish. NASV says they're unrestrained. Here's a picture because I'm going to use it anyway later on. You're walking. You've got what you want to do. You know in your mind what you want to do. You want to go. I want to go to that wall. So I'm walking along, and I've got a little money put back, see? And I know that's where God wants me to get. He wants me to go there with my finances. So here I go. But all of a sudden, I see something over here that I really would like to have. So I go over here, and I get this that I would really like to have. Now, I've got this, but I've interrupted my progress. Now I've got to go all the way back to here and start over again. So here I go again. And now I see something over here I'd like to have. I know that's where I'm supposed to be. I know I'm supposed to be debt-free. I know I'm supposed to owe no man anything except to love him. I know that. But boy, this is nice. And so I go over here. And then what have I got to do again? Am I right? Now, how many has ever experienced that in your life? You've ever experienced that you've gotten going and all of a sudden something happens? Well, that's what the plan and that's what the vision is for. It's if you don't have one, you're unrestrained. You'll be running over here and over there. You'll be spending money, going crazy, going wild, and you'll never get to where God wants you to go. Have you got a plan? Have you got a vision? And then we talked about the 8-1-1, and I'm going to talk about that in just a second. Now, the third thing goes with it is, do you have balanced work habits? Are you balanced in any part of your life? Every part of your life. We talked about the two people, the two extremes. One person is lazy. The Bible tells you about that person. Will he ever amount to anything? Will he? No. Never. That's what the Bible says. If you don't work, you don't. That's what the Bible says. He'll sleep during harvest. Then there's the other extreme, the guy that works all the time. And the one's just as bad as the other. Usually this guy talks about that guy and that guy talks about this guy. The one's just as bad as the other. The guy that works all the time lives in stress. He doesn't get along with his wife. Doesn't get along with his children. Home's a wreck. Family's a wreck. Sick all the time. Am I right? Lives in stress. Drifts away from the things of God. Things of God aren't important to him. Because he's got to work all the time. That becomes a priority. Do you have balanced work habits? Are you balanced in your relationship with your family? That's the third question that we've got to have, understand, and understand the blessings of God. Am I balanced? Now the fourth one today is, will you change? Will you change? Will you change? Now, what I felt to do today was to go back and I don't want you to turn into all these passages, but I want you to take a note so that you can study to see if I'm telling you the truth. What did the Bereans have to do? They didn't go and ask Paul. What did they say? They searched the Scriptures to see if these things be so. And that's what we've got to do. You know, you can come ask me anything you want to, but it's much better if you'll search the Scriptures to see if these things be so. We talked here about three tithes that are in the Bible. There's actually four. One you really don't have to worry too much about because it's the Levitical tithe. It's the tithe that the ministry is supposed to take care of. But there are three basic tithes in understanding the economy of God that we've got to grasp and understand. I want to break these down a little bit more. I preached this several weeks back. I was astounded at the response that you people had. Me and my daughter drove down to Griffin, and she spent the whole 2 hours talking to me about that principle and wanting to invoke it and get it into her life in such a way that she would be diligent to do it. And I was astounded, and I wanted to go back and go through it a little bit more and just make sure that. In fact, we were setting up at the Sizzling that night, and Linda Aker told me, she said, "Where is Linda Aker? She's in the nursery." She told me, she said, "Delbert, you need to preach that on Sunday morning." And I think she's right, so I want to do it. The first tithe that I want to name it is the Malachi tithe. Now, the Malachi tithe, you find in what book of the Bible? Malachi chapter 3. Now, what the Malachi tithe does, and I'm not going to, you should be familiar with it, but you can write down in your notes Malachi chapter 3, write these four principles I'm going to show you that Malachi tithe does, and see if these things are so. The first thing you'll find out about the Malachi tithe is, you know what it provides food for? Food in his house. Now, a lot of Christians think, if I pay tithes, then it should get food in my house. But that's not what the Bible says, is it? The Bible says, first and foremost, that the Malachi tithe will do is put food in his house. Listen, what it will do is provide ministry to feed you, to feed your children, to feed your grandchildren, the things of God. It will provide ministry that you can be imparted and be fed the things of God. It will provide food so that ministry can eat. And that's a nice thing for ministry to do. It will provide things when ministry comes in here. It will provide a place for them to be and then to go out so that they can take care of their things. This is what the first thing that Malachi tithe does is it says, it will put food in my house. The second thing that we see in the Malachi tithe is it opens the windows of heaven. Am I right now? Those of you who understand know this scripture. Am I right? Opens the windows of heaven. And he says, and I'll pour you out a blessing. Now, we talked about this. No other tithe does this. The Malachi tithe, the tithe that you mostly know, the tithe that we have just done, the tithe that Malachi said, the second thing that you'll find out that it'll do is open the windows of heaven. Folks, if you're not being blessed, you need to first and foremost, the first thing you need to see is, are you tithing? Are the windows of heaven opened or are they shut? If you're not being blessed in your life in some area, your marriage, your children, your whatever, your finances, the first thing you've got to see is, have I opened up the blessings of God upon my life? And this is what does it. Third thing that we find in about the Malachi tithe in Malachi chapter 3 is that rebukes the devourer. How many would really want the devourer rebuked in your life?
Now, real quickly, you come to me and you say, Pastor, I've got this need. Things are going crazy in my life. Things are weird at work. Things are weird at home. Things are just weird in my family. Things are weird. Now, see, I basically know the tithers. Now, my wife really doesn't like me to say this. She says, Delbert, it's really better if you don't look at the tithe. No, that's not exactly right. If you don't know who really tithes and who doesn't. You see, because you may come to me and want prayer, and if I know you're a tither, I can agree with you, and I can get with you, and I can help you get that devourer off of your life, because he's got no business there. Am I right? But if I'm out here, and I'm praying and I'm rebuking and I'm binding and you're not paying tithes, I'm coming against what God has loosed upon you. Now, hear me right. If he can rebuke him, what else can he do? Now, if you're tithing, and I know it, then he's got no business in your life. But if you're not tithing and you're being devoured, you might want to start paying tithes. I don't want to come against what God is trying to work into your life. Fourth thing we find in the Malachi blessing is it brings a blessing to the nation. Brings a blessing to the nation. Dr. Cash, about 2-3 years ago, wanted to begin a program called Tithers International. Is that the correct name? And what it would be a work much like the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. That's what the work would be like. It would be like that. And it would be built around, though, tithing. Because you see in Malachi that he says, bring the whole tithe into my storehouse. But if you'll back up just a few verses, you'll find out that you are cursed with a curse, the whole nation of you. And then you go on down below it, and he says, what I'll do is I'll bless you, I'll rebuke the devourer. And he says, and then all the nations will call you blessed, and you will be a blessed nation. You will be a blessed nation. Do you realize that when the nation starts tithing, the blessings of God will be upon it? If our nation doesn't tithe, the devourer is loosed upon it. Which one is our nation under? Okay. So you see that? So that's the four things that you'll find in this Malachi tithe, and it is the first and the foremost tithe that you need to understand. That's the first one that you need to understand. But remember this, it is a blessing for his house. Okay? It rebukes the devourer off of you, but the main primary blessing is it's for his house. Now, the second one that I want to call is a personal tithe. You'll find it in Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14. There are three basic things that you'll find in this tithe. Please don't be turning. Listen to me and take a few notes and then look at these things and see if they be so. Deuteronomy chapter 14 tells us this. It says, I want you to come before me 3 times a year. And he says, I want you to come and I want you to buy whatever that you want. I want you to take the thing, convert it to money, spend it on whatever you want. We was down in Griffin this past week at a seminar. An individual came up to me that I really wasn't expecting to come to me. And he says, Pastor Buren told me a few weeks back you preached a message called 10 Apples or something like that. And he said, will you send me a copy of that? He says, this guy does all kinds of financial counseling with people. All kinds of financial counseling. He says, the thing I have learned in counseling with finances over people is they understand they're supposed to pay their bills. And if you understand you're supposed to pay your bills, do you? Some of you don't understand that you're... Okay. Also, you understand that you're supposed to tithe. You're supposed to give to the house of God. You understand that. But he says, well, I've never been able to communicate to people, is they're supposed to put some back for themselves. Christians don't understand that. Deuteronomy chapter 14 will tell you, first and foremost, that what this 10% is for is whatever your heart desires. It says it twice. First thing, whatever your heart desires. Whatever your heart desires. It's for you. It's put up for you. The second thing you'll find there is that so it's so you can rejoice. Now, how many of you have ever had this to happen in your house? Things have been going along pretty good. You're making the bills. And all of a sudden, the refrigerator does something real weird and stops working. And you have to take money that should be paying for some other bills, or a heat pump, or what, and you have to pay for some other bills. And all of a sudden, you've got to divert that money to your bills. and now you don't have money for your bills. What does that do to your joy? What does it do? Oh, man, you get so grumpy. You stop praying. You stop reading the Bible. You stop seeking God. Am I right? Come on now. What it's for, this one is for, is so that you won't lose your joy, that you can continuously rejoice. I'm going to explain it a little bit better so you understand how it works in just a second. And the third thing that it's for is for your household. Your household. What is the Malachi tithe for? Whose house? What's this one for? God's economy works, folks. It just works. This is so you and your household can rejoice before God. Mike, you remember a couple weeks back or months back, your roof about caught on fire, your refrigerator, your hot water tank. What did it do to your joy? You come over to my house crying. Steve, you remember last week? Car tore up. Air conditioner. He works on it all day long. Tears up that compressor. What did it do to your joy? What did you do with that screwdriver? Can I show him? If this is going on in your life, if you work God's economy in your life, you and your household will continuously rejoice. And you can buy whatever that you want. If you understand the principle and the principle of God's economy. Now, let me break it down for you. You make 10 apples. I'll make it simple. You make 10 apples a week. That's what your income is. That's gross. That's all of it. Okay. You make 10 apples a week. Then, how much of this 10 apples should go to Malachi tithe? One of these apples is God's. That has to be the first thing in your heart. See, that's a heart to do the things of God. That has to be the first thing in your heart. That's His. That's done. This is for His house, so the open windows of heaven can be opened for you, the vow will be rebuked in your life, and that you begin to work the blessing into the nation. All right? Then, the next thing you've got to understand is that one of those apples are just yours to do anything you want with. The next apple is yours. How many apples does that leave? This is not difficult. 8 apples. 8 apples is to go to your bills, meeting your debts, and doing what you need to do with the rest of your finances. Now, say, Pastor, I can't live on 8 apples. I've got to have 9 or 14. And that's usually what us Christians do, isn't it? We make 10, we spend 14. He said, this is what you do. You got 8 apples left. I can't live on 8 apples. Well, then you've got to humble yourself. Now, listen. Remember 1 Peter chapter 5 and where it says there, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Do you remember where he says that? It says that he resists the proud and gives grace and mercy to the humble. You've got to learn. You've got to do whatever is necessary. And it won't happen tomorrow. If you're wanting to invoke this into your life, you won't be able to do it tomorrow. How long did it take you to get where you're at in debt? But it will take a little while, but you can work this into your life. And you can bring it into subjection. And then finally, this may change to a 7. And this one may change to a 2. This will change to a 6. This will change to a 3. Are you seeing the principle? The principle is to bring yourself to where you can live on 8-1-1 principle. If you'll do that, what will happen when you got your plan written? You got your vision set. You're heading for that wall. You're walking along. You invoke this into your life. Here it goes. You see this over here. It looks nice. And you want it. What happens? Stop and get it. Do I have to go back? Keep on going. Oh, okay. Am I right? Do you see this? That's God's plan. That's His economy. If you'll put this into your life and know His ways, that's what we're talking about. Lord, if I have found favor in Your sight, show me Your ways. You go, you know, God's ways in your life, you put them into your life, you activate these things in your life, they work. The third type of a tithe that I want to just show you real quickly, I'll call it the alms tithe, does 6 things. Alms tithe is also in Deuteronomy 14. The first thing that you'll find about this particular tithe, Dr. Cash has already talked about it, it is for your city. Listen, you can read it for yourself. Twice he says it. This is for your city. First thing you understand, it's your city. Is there anything wrong now with giving to missions to Africa? That's the part of the Great Commission. Is there anything wrong with sending money to the televangelist? Oh. But where's your first and primary responsibility? In your city. In your city. You see, it's wonderful to preach the gospel in Africa. But how many knows there's a lot of people here who need the gospel of the kingdom of God? Okay? First thing is for your city. Second thing it talks about is for the alien. Alien is people that aren't even saved. People that aren't even in our nation. People that aren't even not just in not in our church, but not saved at all. Right. Lady called me. She said, I've called every church in town. Nobody will help me. Will you help me? She said, I need $20 for gas. I don't know what that lady done with that $20. I didn't know. But I just knew that I was supposed to give her the $20. And I did. So that's just, it was available. I did it, and you know, God's going to bless me. My heart was right anyway. The third thing that you find out here is it's for the fatherless. Fatherless. How many knows that there are a lot of fatherless children? Are there? Not just because their father's dead, but because their father's left. Fatherless children. Orphans, what the Bible says. How about widows? That's another one. Widows. Timothy tells us what a widow indeed is. Timothy shows us that what a widow indeed is. Five is a Levite. So you can bless your ministry. Six, have ministry coming in. Again, you can bless it. And here's the sixth one. This is what I wanted to get to this for. Now watch what this one, number six, is. Read about it in Deuteronomy 14. Sixth one is, listen, it's that the Lord may bless you. See if it doesn't say that there. That the Lord may bless you. Now, which one opens the windows of heaven? Malachi. This opens the windows of heaven. But which one determines the measure that comes to you? Which one? You see that? It's always that way. The Bible always teaches us that we bring judgment to ourselves. Given, it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. But don't stop there. For by the same measure that you measure to others, it shall be measured unto you. Do you see that? This one will determine. He opens the windows with this one. This one determines the blessing that comes upon your life, upon your home. The blessings of God are always, or the judgments of God, or however you want to look at it, upon our lives. We determine them by the measure. He says, by your words you are justified. By your words you're, you see, by what you speak, by what you do, it invokes a judgment back upon you. There's no place in the Bible you can ever find God giving that you don't have to give first. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that too shall he also reap. Nowhere does it ever say that God's just going to open up and pour you out blessings without you doing something also. That's just a principle in the Word of God. Now, I wanted to go through this to show you the principle of the tithe that we need to understand. And this is the economy of God. And if you will work this into your life and you will invoke this into your life, this is your plan, this is your vision, I promise you, you will rejoice before God. You and your family. And you'll have anything. And it's going to take some time to do it. You won't be able to do it tomorrow. But I sure, if you could do it tomorrow, I sure would say that you need to. How many see this now and really want this in your life? Okay. You see? It's very simple. Very simple. I've worked this in my life for years. How do I do it? The way I do it is I write the check right there every week for this one. This is automatically taken care of in our financial system. I deposit the money into my checking account. There's an automatic withdrawal that happens every week. And it happens every week. And I do it just as faithfully as I do this one. I put back 10%. When we had the big day of blessing here a few weeks back, me and my wife, we both knew what we were supposed to give. God confirmed it in her heart, confirmed it in my heart. And we had to suffer a little bit. We had to do a little bit to get it, but we got it. And we were up at Sam's one day. And this is exactly what I just told you, and it just gave you an example. We were in our home. We were doing what God said to do. We knew we had to have that much money. We were heading for it. And our microwave went out. Now, a microwave is not a necessity. How many realize we don't have to have a microwave? But a microwave, I like microwave popcorn. I like microwave. You know, it's very convenient. And so we were up at Sam's, and we were really diligent about this. But we were walking along, and because I had this in my life, we were moving along, and all of a sudden, you know, we saw this microwave. It was on sale, nice microwave. My wife liked it. I picked that microwave up. I didn't have to go back there. Kept on going. We were still able to do what we were supposed to do because I had this principle in my life. You need to work this into your life and be just as diligent with this tithe as you are this tithe. Now, this one is the most important. How many understand? You need this one. But this one, you need to get in it just as well. And also this one. And this one, of course, I don't know if I said it or not. This is an every third year tithe. You know, he's not 30% here, okay? It's 23.3% if you want to work it out exactly right. This is an every third year tithe. 3% of a tithe every year, you need to give it into your city, the aliens, the fatherless, the widow, the Levi, and this is so that you can be blessed. Now, I want to move on. Exodus 33. Moses says, show me your ways. Show me your ways. How many sees that God is wanting to show us His way here? This is God's way. This is straight out of His Word. This is His economy. If you will activate this in your life, you'll have His presence and you'll be different. You won't live from week to week. You won't have the refrigerator to go out or the tires to wear out on the car. You won't lose your joy when something goes crazy. You'll have that in your life and you can go on with God. If He shows you His ways, then you can go on. Now, what I want to talk about here is I want to bring out two basic principles from this passage that we read and give you four other points, and then we'll close out. First of all, I want to understand that God's people should desire to know God's ways. God's people should desire more than anything to know His ways, because the song that we sang and the scripture that we read, which were the same, says, if I have found favor in your sight, show me or teach me your ways, that I may be pleasing to you. We don't want to understand the keys of opening up blessings just so we can be wealthy, or just so we can be healthy, or just so our marriages will work, or just so, but we want to open up the windows of heaven and blessings for our life so that we'll be pleasing in His sight. And that should be the desire of every Christian. How many of you in your heart, more than anything, desire to be loving the Father and want Father to love you, and you want to love Father and you want to do everything just exactly the way He wants you to do it? Is there anybody in here that doesn't want to do that? Boy, hands went down. That's good. See, that's what our desire is. And I'm going to say some things right at the end of the message today about that. But you've got to understand that in your heart, you want to please Him. And you say then, Lord, teach me your ways. In Psalms 103, verse 7, David, they're writing up concerning Moses. He says he made known his ways to Moses, but his acts to the sons of Israel. Listen, folks, you can sit there and watch somebody else's marriage be blessed, or you can get your own marriage blessed. You can sit there and worry about your finances from now on, and how long will you worry about them if you don't do them His way? Forever. You can sit there and worry about watch somebody else be blessed financially and struggle with yours from now on. Or you can get in His ways and get yours blessed. Am I right? You can watch somebody else's children turn out real well and watch yours go to jail. Am I right? You got to know His ways. Moses said, show me your ways. David said he showed his ways to Moses in his acts to the sons of Israel. You can sit there and watch God act all around you. And He will. And you can get wrapped up in His ways. Is that right? First thing you got to understand, you got to desire God's ways. You got to desire His ways more than you want anything. And then Ephesians 1 says, how do we get His ways? How do we work His ways or His wisdom into our life? In Ephesians 1, 7, Paul prayed. He's praying there and he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation. Why? Who knows that passage? Why? That you may know Him. That you may have knowledge of Him. How many want God's wisdom? God's revelation. Well, you pray for it. You ask Him for it. James says that. If you lack wisdom, do what? Ask for it. But now listen, God's showing you His wisdom here concerning His finances. Don't just let Him show it to you. Put it in your life.
Activate these things. Let them become reality in you. Eat the Word of God and let it become a part of you. Don't let Him just show you His ways and walk away. How many of us are born with an Adamic nature? You're born with an Adamic. How many of you were ever taught how to lie? You're born with the Adamic nature. Something has to happen. We're going to talk about that at the end. You've got to learn His ways. See, you're in the ways of Adam. Right now, you're in the ways of good and evil. Am I right? Proverbs 3:18 says that wisdom is a tree of life. There's another tree. It's the knowledge of good and evil. And most of us are feeding on the knowledge of good and evil. It's a good thing, but it doesn't work. It's not His ways. But there's a wisdom. There's a knowledge of God. There's a way of God that it'll work every time. Every time. Now, the second thing that I want to point out is when we learn God's ways and know Him, we are distinguished from all other people because of God's presence in our life. You will not be like the world when you work God's ways into your life. You can test yourself about this. How are you at work? Are you just one of the guys? One of the gals? Huh? Are you a follower or a leader? The Bible still says you're the head and not the... What should you be? Are you following an example or are you setting an example? How's your home? See, is it like the world's home? Or is it distinguishably different? How's your children? Young people at school, how are you? Can they tell there's something different in your life? See, there's a distinguishable difference in the people of God. And Moses says, how can we know that your presence is with us? In other words, how can we know that you're blessing our beings and our existence on earth? Is it not that we're different? Folks, I want to tell you the ways of God are different from the ways of the world. His ways are higher than our ways. As high, Isaiah said, as the heaven is above the earth, is His ways above our ways. And I want to know those ways, don't you? In His ways is truth. In His ways is truth. What are the requirements to know His ways? What are the requirements to know His ways? Or maybe we can say it this way. How does God teach us His ways? We've asked Him to teach us to Him. We prayed and we said, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I want to give you four requirements to know God's ways. Four requirements to know God's ways. And I'm still ministering the message. Will you change? Four requirements. But to change, what are you going to change to? What are you going to change to His ways? Four requirements to know God's ways. The first thing you've got to know is you've got to be committed to the Word of God. You've got to be committed. Now listen to how I'm saying it. You can't have a casual relationship with the Word of God. If all the Word you get is when you come here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, that's it, you'll never know God's ways. I'm telling you, as your pastor, that you will not know God's ways if you're not reading God's Word. His Word is His ways. His ways is His Word. Jesus said the Word is truth. That's where His way is. You've got to be committed to the ways of God, or you've got to be committed to the Word of God. You will never know God's ways until you're committed to God's Word. You've got to have a diligent time. You've got to have a time when you just give yourself to it. And I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult working. You know, you're tired. Well, you need to work your schedule around. Get up earlier. Do something. But get in God's Word so you'll get in God's ways. Second thing, you've got to be committed to prayer. Second thing, you have got to be committed to prayer. You will never know God until you begin to pray. You'll sit and watch His acts. You'll never know His ways. If you want to know me, you may watch me walk up and down here, spit right on the board. You may watch me drink water, put this lapel mic on, do these kinds of things, but you'll never know me. You'll watch my acts, but you'll never know my ways until you spend time with me. Come on. You'll never know my heart. You'll never know my purposes. You'll never have a relationship with me until you spend time with me and communing with me and talking with me. And it's that way with you. I'll never know you until I spend time with you. I can watch your acts. And watch what you do. I can watch how you treat your wife, your children, your husband. I can watch it. But I'll never know your ways until I spend time with you. You'll never know God's ways until you commit your life to prayer and communion with Him. Third one. Some of you aren't going to like this one. How many knows I'm not going to stop saying it? Third one. You've got to be committed to the body of Christ. Now listen to me. I'm persuaded. God has always shown His ways through His nation. He'll have a couple individuals that will teach it and show it, but He's always worked through many. He's worked through a nation. Well, I don't know how you can say that. Well, it's never been me and Jesus. It's always been us and Jesus. That's always been His emphasis. He's always emphasized His body. He's always emphasized His people. The Old Testament, you read it, it's the nation of Israel. In the New Testament, it's the nation, it's the new nation, it's the spiritual nation, it's the church. And He's showing His ways through His church. Read you some scriptures. Read you some scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. I'm actually going to read through verse 21. I want to emphasize a few things in 18, 19, and 20. It says there, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body. I'm going to say it again. But when? Now. How's God doing it now? He's placing the members in the body. But now God is placing the members, each of them, in the body, just as He desired. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? Are you hearing what He's saying? He's not interested in one member because where would His body be? His emphasis is His body. His emphasis is what He has died to build. I will build my church just as He desired. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, again He says that, but now, this is how I'm doing it now. Now, therefore, many members, but one body. How many hear that now? Now, here's the kicker. This is what I really want us to hear today. I'm saying to you that the fourth thing you've got to understand the ways of God, is you've got to be committed to a body. Here is why I'm saying it, basically. And the eye cannot, everybody say cannot. Cannot. Everybody didn't say it. I want you, everybody say cannot. This is the Bible. You're just quoting the Bible. The eye cannot. Say the eye cannot. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Whether you want to or whether you don't, you cannot say you don't need me. Whether I want to or whether I don't, I can't say, Vi, I don't need you. I need you, Vi. I need you. Now listen to the rest of that verse. He says, and the head, and who is the head, cannot say to the feet, I have no need of you. Do you know that Jesus needs you? Jesus needs me. And we're so smart that we don't think we need anybody, and He needs all of us to have the ways of God in our lives, to have the blessings of God loose upon our lives. We've got to understand, we've got to be committed to His body, because that's what He's committed to. Is that right? You've got to know Him. The whole book of Acts, the emphasis of the book of Acts was establishing the church, not individuals. Book of Revelation, He writes in chapter 2 and chapter 3, to the church at. It's at Ephesus. To the church at Thyatira. To the church at Laodicea. To the church at Philadelphia. He didn't write it to Vi or Roger or Delbert or Judy. Did he? How many is hearing me now? I'm okay. Third thing you've got to understand is that you've got to know His ways. You're going to know His body. An interesting thing here. I'm reading from you from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Chapter 11, where He gives us the Lord's table. He says, because you haven't discerned what? The body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that reason, many of you are sick, weak, dead. I believe it. Without the church. I'm sorry, I just don't believe it. I believe I need you. I cannot say I don't need you. The fourth thing, and I'm closing. It's 12 o'clock, aren't you glad? Fourth thing you've got to have to know the ways of God, for God to teach His ways to you, is commitment to change. Commitment to change. Commitment to His Word, number one. Commitment to prayer, number two. Commitment to His body, number three. And commitment to change, number four. Commitment to change. Moses changed. Did Moses change when he got the law? What was he? Was he receiving? Was he committed to receiving that law? That's what he went up there for, was to receive the Word of God. You've got to be just as diligent to receive the Word of God. He's committed to it. You got to be committed. Was Moses committed to communing with the Father? Communing with God? Was he committed to that? Was he committed to his people? See, Moses, this is the mentality that we've got to grasp. God says, Moses, I'm going to destroy them all, and I'm going to start over with you. Is that what He said? Moses said, no, if you're going to kill them, kill me too. That's covenant. That's covenant. We're down in Griffin. I'm trying to finish. We're down in Griffin. This wasn't said, but this is what I heard. You see, people come to the church and we want our churches filled. We want our chairs filled. I nearly said pews. We want our chairs filled. We want people to come. We want them to tithe. We want them to give. But we're very careful of who we make covenant with, or we think we are. We'll make covenant with people if they can help us. How many knows it's easy to get covenant with Dr. Cash? Is it easy? And that guy is more used than any man I've ever known. Because it's easy to get in covenant with Dr. Cash because you know you're going to come out best on the deal. Now say something. But when somebody comes in that doesn't smell good, when somebody comes in that doesn't look like we look or dress like we dress or talk like we talk or doesn't have skin like we have, if you're going to kill them, God, kill me too. Moses changed. He loved his people. He loved the Word. He was committed to the Word. He was committed to communion with God. He was committed to his body. And it was he committed to change. He's walking along one day and God says, Moses, turn aside. Moses turned aside and saw the burning bush. You know the story. He changed his whole life, moved his whole family, changed everything. 80 years old, you're never too old to change. Changed everything. Why? So he could do what God wanted to do. So God could teach him his ways. You got to change. You got to be committed to change. Turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and we're done. Will you change? Will you change so that you can get the blessings of God on your life? Romans 12, chapter 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I urge you therefore, brethren, to by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service or worship. And verse 2 is what I want. And do not be conformed to this world. Now, we were all saved out of the world which conformed us. Whatever that we were doing, the world had conformed. How many knows that the world had an emphasis on us? Did the world have an emphasis on us? It done some conforming in our thinking. And he said, don't be conformed, though, to the world, but be transformed or be changed to the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what the will of God is, and which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm hurrying and I'm hustling, but I just want you to know this. When you get saved, God gives you a new heart. Now, understand it. We hear people say, well, I had it in my mind, but it wasn't in my heart. That's not biblical. Jeremiah says, I'm going to give them a new heart of mind. Heart. God gives you a new heart. Ezekiel says, I'm going to remove the stony heart. I'm going to replace it with a heart of flesh. Read about it in Corinthians, and he says, I'm going to write my laws on their heart. Romans chapter 2 says, I'm going to circumcise the heart. What God deals with is your heart, your thoughts, your intents, your motivations. Once you're saved, you want to please God more than you want anything. When it comes out of your heart, folks, it's pure. When it comes out of there, it's God. How many of you ever want to do anything that hurts God? You don't want to because you don't want to hurt Father. You love Father. When it comes out of your heart, it's pure. It's God. But something happens to it by the time it goes through our mind. Am I right? Bible doesn't say be renewed in the spirit of your heart. The Bible says be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Folks, it's like a pollution well. When it gets out of our heart, it's pure, it's holy. But by the time it comes out our mouth, by the time it comes out our effects, is something's wrong with it. Paul says be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Your mind will be one of two things. It'll be a generator, an energizer, so that when it comes out, flowing down that river, when the springs of water come out of the earth, they go down the river, they go through the generators, the electricity is pumped and it brings light and life and joy to all the surrounding areas, doesn't it? But that same water goes by an old polluted factory that's pumping garbage and waste and refuse into the system, into the spring. Then what happens? Nothing can live in it. All it brings is death and stench. And that's what happens to our mind. When we get saved, our heart is right. But by the time it comes to our mind, to know His ways, you've got to be committed to change. To know His ways, you've got to understand the principle that He's setting for us here. You've got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How many have heard what I've just said now? I can't linger here. I'll preach it sometimes. But see, that's what's happening to us. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. I want your heads bowed and your eyes closed. How many truly desire to know His ways and not only watch His acts? If that's you, would you lift your hand to me? Just let me see. Amen. That's about everybody in here. That's about everybody in here. You want to know His ways and know His acts. Now let me ask you a second question. How many are tired of battling with the same battle and you want to defeat it, but you know to defeat it, you must change? You're tired of the same battle over and over and over. And that's you in your life. Would you lift your hand? That's the basic Christian world right there. And I said it right. Thank you. I said it right because the problem is Christians still have the world in them. And we're working on it. We're being renewed in the spirit of our mind. And God wants to do something in our hearts and in our minds. And He's doing something in us. But we've got to understand that it's going to take some change. How many of you and I will declare to me, Delbert, I understand what you're saying, and there are some things in my life I've got to change, and I'm going to do it. That's you. Would you lift your hand? Okay. Everybody stand. We'll make a declaration. Declaration. Something happens when we say something. Duran was just telling me a while ago. He said something a couple of weeks back. It invoked it in the realm of the Spirit, and he's got it now. Or he'll have it in 6 weeks, months, whatever. But his promise is coming. There's something that happens when it comes out your mouth. How many believe that the Bible really says that if you believe it in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, it works a salvation in your life? Is that right? And that's what we're doing right now. We know that if we set the rudder of our tongue, it sets the direction of our life. And that's why we make these declarations, and that's why we make these proclamations and these confessions. And I want you to repeat after me. I want you to repeat after me. I declare in my heart, and I declare in my mind, that the Word of God is true. I confess with my mouth before God and before His people that I need to change in areas of my life so that I can be blessed and so that I can be a blessing. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I will have a written plan and a vision. I will be biblically balanced. I will change. I will change. I will know your ways, O God. Show them to me that I can learn them. And then teach them to my loved ones and to all those that you allow me to teach them to. And let's seal it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
So be it.
Amen. Clap your hands and rejoice. Amen. Amen.